Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
That red record button, okay. That's how you know that it's recording. It says record, that turns red.
Okay. One, two, farts, 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 and tits.
Grab it from the bottom, note to self.
Dave, why are you such a big-headed prick?
I was born this way.
I'm JP, and this is Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the U.S., distributing free monthly issues about music, arts, action sports, and subculture. On today's episode, we talk to local artist Audrey Patton, we find out all the cool, literally, stuff to eat in Salt Lake with Yelp, and we get to hear an interview about Isan. He's a Norwegian black metal composer and vocalist. Audrey Patton is an artist, originally from Wisconsin and Indiana. She describes her work as Midwest meets West with her paintings, prints, and textile works. She is going to be one of the exhibitors in this year's Craft Lake City. Thank you for joining me, Audrey.
Thank you for having me.
You seem pretty well versed in pop culture. You create Wes Anderson-inspired pieces from subjects like Steve Zissou. And the Fantastic Mr. Fox, as well as more traditional themes like animals and people. Do you have a preferred subject matter?
Always animals. I've never been that keen on drawing humans. Just animals just seem a little more natural for me to draw. They're a little more forgiving than a human face. With human faces, you are usually looking for a specific identity and a lot of details. And with animals, you can just kind of slap a nose here and a couple eyeballs there, and usually people get the gist of it.
That's great. And I know who Steve Zissou is, of course.
I hope so.
I didn't know if he officially went by Steven, though. Is it Steve? The Steve Zissou Society? That's what I was thinking.
You know, I'm sure he wouldn't mind either way. He could probably just even call him Zissou.
Great job. Great job answering that question in the PR department. And what makes you so interested in the pop culture pieces? Is it a more commercial motif because all the pseudo-hipsters like Wes Anderson, or is it something else?
It's clearly a marketing scheme. I'm just all about making money. Really, it's more just about his style kind of speaks to me because it's just this bizarrely... In fact, I actually saw Moonrise Kingdom for the second time today. And after it was done, I turned to my boyfriend and I said, wasn't that just the cutest fucking shit you've ever seen? Like, his stuff is quirky, it's kind of uncomfortable at times, and it's just, stylistically, it's just something that, like, is really attractive to me. And so... It actually has a lot of common themes that were already existing in my work. So when I started watching his films, which I only saw Rushmore, which was the first Wes Anderson film I'd ever seen, just a couple years ago, and I instantly just kind of like, oh yeah, I totally get what this guy's trying to do. So his work kind of seeps into my work a little bit, as well as like other things. In fact, I just got some thank you cards that I'm going to be selling at Craft Lake City back from the printer today, and there's a drawing of Tom Hanks, and then underneath it says T. Hanks, so thanks. So it's kind of a play on words.
I see what you've done there.
Yeah, it's punny.
That's really fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
We might as well talk about this since we're here, and it'd be awkward if I didn't. What do you think about Bottle Rocket?
I liked it. You know, it's everyone's got a starting off point, and it's obviously not going to be the most amazing thing you've ever done. And if it is, well then, you know, I'm sorry. But I feel like artists fall into the same category. Like, your first piece of artwork is not going to trump your very last piece of artwork. In most cases. And you get older, you grow, you make more work, you grow, you learn from mistakes, you learn along the way, and... So you have to take that into consideration when you watch Bottle Rocket, which was probably the third or fourth film of his that I saw. And I really appreciated it for what it was.
I love Bottle Rocket, by the way. You gave a pretty good answer in defense of Bottle Rocket.
It's an acceptable answer.
Yeah, you brought up a point there that I wanted to talk about. What was the first piece of art that you sold, and what was it?
That's a really good question. The first one that I really remember, and it was really only probably about 5 or 6 years ago, was a painting, kind of an obscure painting, because up until then I gave a lot of pieces away. I just couldn't accept money for my artwork, and I still have a hard time accepting money for it. But it was just this weird kind of painting of my rendition of The Owl and the Pussycat. However, they were very kind of macabre looking versions. The cat had a You know the little baby on South Park, and is, you know, the Canadians, their heads separate when they talk. Yeah. He had one of those. The owl was kind of weird looking, and they were in this kind of weird boat, and it was kind of painted in all these kind of gross colors, and somebody thought it was really awesome. And in fact, it was a gallery owner. He was like, "I'm gonna buy that," and I said, "Okay."
And so you don't necessarily paint like that anymore.
Not really. That was a style I kind of moved through probably the first couple years of college, and I still like to incorporate a little bit of macabre, but more in an uncomfortable way, not necessarily an overtly macabre way, just slight undertones where you're looking at something and go, there's something slightly uncomfortable about that.
And what is currently influencing you in the pieces that you're creating?
It's kind of hard. A lot of the stuff that I'm going to be selling at Craft Lake City and the stuff that's going to be on display at Whole Foods Market has to be a little more PC. Some of the stuff that's kind of influencing me right now is I'm really into the whole black metal culture. It's really kind of hilarious. There's a lot of really, really interesting just background, and the styles and the culture are just really interesting. And so I've done a few things that are not necessarily mocking the culture, but it's just kind of embracing it in a hilarious way. But again, could be taken as devil worshiping or satanic by a few people. So I keep those out of places like Whole Foods, and you might see some at Craft Lake City, but not as many.
Let's just talk about that right now. I've got some other questions about your past and what brought you to this point, but let's talk about Craft Lake City a little bit and your upcoming show at Whole Foods.
Uh-huh.
I really like how you described your Craft Lake experience on your blog. I'd like to read what you wrote.
Sure.
Describing what was available from your booth. Hand-painted tattoo flash-inspired vintage purses and wallets, a few prints, new and old, a painting or two, and me looking like a deer caught in the headlights.
Yeah.
Besides the deer in the headlights look, what kind of prints are you going to have on hand? Can you describe a little bit more about the subject matter? Are we going to see some Steve Zissous there?
Yes. I won't look nearly as terrified this year. Last year I had to work through a lot of different kinks, including realizing that the table I had was much too small and needed a very last minute run back to the house to get another table.
So you've updated the look.
Yeah. I made a running list last year of things to remember for next year. This year I'm gonna have, kind of along the same lines, I'm gonna have a couple of the purses left over from last year that didn't sell. So cast offs, people are gonna get some crap nobody wanted from last year.
That's a great selling point.
Yeah.
You know how to market.
Step right up and buy some crap is what I like to tell people. I'm gonna have some prints, obviously, the Wes Anderson kind of three print series that I did. I'm probably going to take some of the paintings down just for the weekend that are up at Whole Foods to kind of bring to Craft Lake City to see if anyone would like, just to get a little bit more exposure on that. The Tom Hanks thank you cards will be for sale. I've also got some tote bags that I just had come in print from the printer that are pretty cool. They're kind of like a homage to Utah. There's a woman with a beehive and it says home is where the hive is. And yeah,
that's a good job.
I like to consider myself to be, you know, at least slightly clever. And so it's just going to be a little variety of kind of like last year, just like little things here and there. You know, I learned that last year people are more into buying things at Craft Lake City that are kind of below a certain price range. And, you know, so that's what I'm keeping in mind for this year.
Well, I'm going to stop by your booth, definitely, and check
it
out. And I will end up inevitably at Whole Foods during the month of August from the 1st through the 30th, where you're going to have a show as well. You mentioned that. What kind of pieces are going to be there? Some of your animals, hopefully?
Yes, there are going to be some animals there. A few pieces that it's going to be interesting because you're going to see some work that's probably 6 years old, but then some other, you know, brand new stuff that I've created for it. But it's all kind of always going to go together. I feel like even though my style has changed over the years, you can always kind of look at it and be like, okay, well, this is obviously by the same person. But a lot of big pieces, a couple little pieces, some little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Great answer. You're full of really good answers, Audrey.
I'm kind of running out here.
No, I've got just a few more questions.
Okay.
Your brain's going
to I'll see
last.
What I can do.
Yeah. Your Tumblr is dubbed Midwest Meets West.
Yes.
And what does that refer to, and what has that mentality changed at all since you landed here in Utah more?
It hasn't changed at all. I still really like that kind of, that title that I've kind of given myself, or subtitle rather. You know, the life experiences that that you go through when you move to a completely different place influence everything, and they've influenced my artwork, and they've influenced who I am as a human being, and so I am. These are the two different regions that I've lived in, so I'm kind of, you know, a product of Midwest and currently the West, and it just kind of manifests itself in some of my artwork a little bit.
Like the Beehive, the aforementioned Beehive. Mm-hmm. You spent 5 years at an art school in Indianapolis, the Heron School of Art and Design, where you received a bachelor's in printmaking.
Yes.
What skills that you acquired there do you currently apply to your painting? Because you don't have access to a print.
Yeah, pretty much nothing. yeah, not much. I mean, I really, really miss printing a lot, and I hope to someday get back into that, but it's a matter of time, and it's a matter of money, and paper's expensive and you gotta pay for press time and whatever, but probably just my drawing skills that I learned there too. That's pretty much all that I learned. I didn't take any painting there, and I don't consider myself a painter. I'm actually a pretty horrible painter. Most of them are drawings that are just kind of touched up with a little bit of paint here and there. You know, and my stuff is definitely not, you know, like a fine art painting at all. Like, it's really influenced, I think, by a lot of folk art. Like, it's not, you know, super realistic. It's kind of tends to be a little flat and almost borderline cartoony.
I like it though. It's good.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
You can check it out on the walls of Whole Foods or on your booth at Craft Lake City this year. For more info on Patton, you can visit her online at audreypatton.tumblr.com. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you again for having me and for sitting through with my awkward answers.
Pleasure Thieves is a rock band from Salt Lake City that formed in 2005 with Dave Combs on guitar and Doug Gross on keys. They played locally for years but didn't release a proper album. They only released one track on Slug's Death by Salt 2 compilation in 2006 and then went on hiatus in 2008. In 2012, the band rebooted with Mike Sartain on drums and Lance Saunders on bass and immediately went into the studio. This month, the band will release their debut full-length album, The Empire Never Ended. We're going to tell you when and where you can find that show after this track. From their album, The Empire Never Ended, here's the Pleasure Thieves with Gonna Get It All.
Yeah.
That was Gonna Get It All from the Pleasure Thieves album, The Empire Never Ended. Nautical Sons and Light Black will be joining them for their release show at the Urban Lounge on Saturday, July 28th. It starts at 10 and is just $5. That's actually less than a matinee to some shitty movie, so save your money and put it in local band pockets instead. To learn more about the band, pick up our July 2012 issue of Slug to read our article by Gregory Giralt. Time once again for one of my favorite segments. We bring in Jeffrey Stedman from Yelp. He's the community manager here for that popular online review site, and he handles all the Yelpers in Salt Lake City and cultivates and
fosters,
grooms them.
I foster a sense of community. I laugh. No, but really, that's what's great about Yelp is it's not just people online, but it's people in the real world. We get together, we do things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have Yelping events and things like that.
Indeed. We just, not too long ago, had Friday the 13th, which has become a tradition. Every Friday the 13th, we go get some fried food at like a bar or something like that. I didn't think it through all the way. I was like, yeah, I'm excited for another one. September 2013. That's the next Friday the 13th. So put that on your calendar right now, listeners.
That's you guys got lucky, and so did the cardiovascular doctors, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's not good for you. Yep. Although where did you guys go before we jump into the main part of this?
So this last one we were at Piper Down, and they put together a special $5 basket of fried goods. It was like onion rings, mozzarella sticks, fries, which was actually on National French Fry Day. What? Two worlds colliding. It was amazing. And scotch eggs. If you haven't had scotch eggs, give it a go.
That's one of my favorite things about Piper Down. One of the only reasons I go there. I mean, they've got other good stuff too, but you can't find them anywhere else.
Sausage on top of hard boiled eggs, deep fried. Come on.
Great. Sounds like a winner. Sounds so American. At an Irish pub, and they've got
scotch eggs. Yeah. Sure. American.
Well, let's get to a topic, though, that everyone really likes around this time of year. Cold stuff.
Yeah.
You want to jump into this?
It's just been hot, man. It's just been really, really hot, and there's nothing better on a cold day. So we're going to talk about a few of the places around town that have some great cold stuff. I think people are surprised that in Salt Lake City there are some really great places to get gelato. We'll start with Capo, which is 4.5 out of 5 stars after 35 reviews, right next to Setabello there on 2nd West, about 262 South, 2nd West, not about, but precisely, 262 South, 200 West. And Capo, Kristen H. said, the strawberry gelato rivals those I've had in Sardinia, Venice, Florence, and Rome. It's legit stuff. It's really, really good.
It is very good.
And then Dolcetti, also very cool. A lot of people are familiar with the location on 902 East, 9 South, right there at the heart of 9th and 9th. But they did just recently open up another location, 380 East 4th Avenue.
Oh yeah, I've seen that driving by. I didn't know it was the same people. Makes sense.
Yeah, same people. Their main location, 4 out of 5 stars after 29 reviews. And just get down there. They make one that's like a sticky rice gelato.
Mango.
Yeah, that's it. Mango sticky rice. Yeah.
Thai's gelato, I call it.
Yeah. It's really good. Yeah. It'll change your life in the best possible way. And then if you want a little meal, of course, if you go to Capo, you can eat at Setabello. But if you want another like pizza gelato combination, Vinto is also really, really good. Vinto 418 East, 200 South, 4 out of 5 stars, 70 reviews. And Rihanna R. says, don't forget dessert. The best part of the meal is the chocolate orange gelato, which tastes just how it sounds. Heavenly.
I went to their location in Park City, and that's a good way to describe the gelato up there, too. They have this gelato sampler, which is a really great deal, actually. For only $7, you get like 6 scoops of their daily gelatos, and it's a lot. It's a lot of gelato and variety, too.
Say that again, would you?
It's a lot of gelato.
For welcome. Me, yeah. No, that's purely selfish for me.
Yeah.
I should also mention Toscana, which is out in Draper, 17 East, 114 South, next to Sunny Bryan's. I haven't eaten there, but I have had a little bit of their pink grapefruit gelato. Come on. It haunts my dreams. So give that a go if you're in the south part of the valley. So that, there's a couple other places to get gelato. Those are kind of some of the biggies around town. And then moving on, I guess, you want to talk about ice cream?
That's all I want to talk about ever.
Okay, do you have a favorite place you get ice cream here? I miss Spotted Dog.
I was going to say Spotted Dog was, but, you know.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I feel like, there's some folks doing some things. T-Rose Garden, for example, makes their own ice cream. But I feel like we really are missing that in Salt Lake City, to be honest with you. A really great, creative creamery where you can go in and get a scoop. So hopefully it's been a couple of years. I thought maybe someone would step in and take Spotted Dog's shoes. But man, that stuff was good.
Do Spotted Dogs wear shoes? That's another topic.
Also, yes. Yeah, maybe a different date. We'll talk about it. I'll show you some pictures. No, but you know, Tropical Dreams is doing some very cool stuff again, right at 9th and 9th. They're a seasonal shop, right? So they're open just during the summertime. 928 East, 900 South, 4.5 out of 5 stars, just 5 reviews. And they're doing some really interesting ice cream and some flavors that you just probably can't find anywhere else in town. So definitely get over there and check that out if you're really hot one day and just want to grab some ice cream.
I thought it was closed. I didn't realize it was seasonal. Thank you for that tip.
Yeah. Well, I think they share the space with somebody during the wintertime. But yeah, I've talked to them. They show up pretty early in the season, like April, May, and then they'll stick it out till September, October. And then Nitro Freeze. You've been to Nitro Freeze before?
I don't even know what that is.
Let's talk about it. Nitro Freeze, 3305 South State, 4 out of 5 stars, 6 reviews. Yiching P says, so you pick a base, ice cream, non-dairy, etc., then flavors, and add on the goodies, and the staff mix everything up in a stand mixer. And then they take liquid nitrogen, goes to work, and freezes everything right before your eyes to make ice cream. So it's sort of this movement in, we've seen liquid nitrogen showing up in a lot of different menus and a lot of different restaurants.
Fancy
and
cookery, if you will.
I won't, but maybe you will.
Go for it, fair enough.
Fancy cookery. Yeah, fancy, why not? You know what, I will.
Thank you.
Jeffrey. You said a lot of gelato, so I'll fancy cookery for you. Yeah, so that's really fun. You know, it's more about the experience, I think. But, you know, you can make custom stuff there if you want.
You have me at liquid nitrogen, by the way. That's just badass.
It is. Yeah. Well, it's just, you feel like they're evil or you're evil. Like, it's foaming around.
Exactly.
Yeah, what kid is not going to love that? Scott S. At Smart Cookie Company, he goes handheld on it, right? He gets a couple of cookies, puts some ice cream in the middle of it, and he says it's, quote, an explosion of deliciousness that twirls and dances upon your tongue with each bite.
Whoa.
He needs some alone time with his Smart Cookies. And that's up by Union Heights, up there on 13th East and Sandy, if you want to give them a try.
So
a lot of cookies, but...
He makes ice cream sandwiches, basically.
Yeah,
that's a really fancy way of saying that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he was excited about it. And he's a good kid. Shout out to Scott S., who's on his honeymoon right now. And then maybe we should talk about some... I wanted to make sure we mention this place called Wasatch Pops and Snow Shack. So, summertime shows up. We get these, like, different stands in all these grocery stores around town, right? I love it. You know, you get these shaved ice and all these things. And to be honest, a lot of them are very similar. You know, you show up, they shave some ice, you put in tiger's blood. Right.
That's my go-to is tiger's blood, actually.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm more of a black cherry and lime kind of a mixture.
I can see that.
But I want to mention Wasatch Pops and Snow Shack, which just showed up this season. It's their first, they just opened One Lonelier View from yours truly, but it's up in Olympus Village, 3981 South Wasatch, and this is what they're doing. First of all, they serve out of a 1960s vintage trailer. So it's a pretty cool setup that they've totally refurbished, and it is all natural and organic snow cone and popsicle flavorings. And it's some pretty fancy schmancy stuff, right? They have stuff like avocado lime, strawberry basil black pepper popsicles.
Oh.
I tried the pink lemonade pineapple rosemary shaved ice. It was, I didn't know that shaved ice could do that, right? So herb infused flavors, like very, I mean, it sounds very schmancy, but they're very down to earth. Very, very cool people running the place. So go by and give that a try. Wasatch Pops and Snow Shack up there in, it's Olympus Village, right?
It's with by Dan's.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I read your review on that because I follow you on Twitter. That's how I get all my Yelp news. And it sounded like a really great concept. Apparently one of the owner's daughters couldn't eat some more traditional shaved ice sort of products because they have a lot of flavorings and artificial colors that aren't good for, well, anybody, let's be honest.
Yep.
So I don't usually do the shaved ice because of that. I used to like tiger's blood. Used to. When I said that, it was in the past. But this sounds like a snow cone shack I can actually go to and enjoy.
Yeah, for sure. They're using things like agave syrup and, you know, making flavorings out of all natural, you know, the actual ingredients that you're using. So, for sure, I was very excited. But, you know, there's a ton of places around like that that open up seasonally. Bob's Brain Freeze, you know, is one of them. Tropical Dreams, we mentioned, is kind of an established place, not just a trailer. Besides the ice cream and the gelato and the, you know, shaved ice, there's plenty of places to go get a smoothie, to go get an iced coffee, to go and just cool off. Whatever you do, be safe, be careful out there. get yourself something cold if you're feeling warm, and there's plenty of options to do that.
Yeah, people don't realize they come from out of state. You'll get dehydrated really fast in this air. It just sucks the moisture right out of you.
For sure.
Actually, while I've got you here, Jeffrey, can we talk about some stuff?
I say let's do. I'm going to join you for some stuff today, I understand.
Actually, I wanted to pretend like I was going to do a performance review with you, but yes, actually, you're aware of the fact already that we need to have you help me out with events because everyone else on the editorial staff is out and about. And I'd usually choose you first, but they would get jealous, so I'm glad that my main choice for events is here with me.
Let's talk about it. What I can talk about, I can. What I don't know about, I won't fake my way through it.
I'll just prod you every once in a while, don't worry.
Let's do it.
I'm waiting for your Wednesday, because I'm really excited about that. Tuesday, I'll start, though. July 31st, Music at Maine, Mateo, which is Chinese-American folk fusion, Theta Knot, which is experimental jazz. They'll be at Library Square. Are you familiar at all with the Music at Maine series?
Yes. Yeah, and familiar with the Music of Mateo and Theta Knot. Big fan. It's very chill. Particularly very interesting. Some really fun instruments they bring in and kind of mesh it with Western music.
I haven't heard them yet.
Yeah, very, very, you know, like an old traditional Chinese instruments, and just very relaxed and kind of cool what they're doing.
And Theta Knot, I believe, also has a theremin player, if I'm not mistaken. Do you know that?
Oh, yeah. I did not know they had a theremin player.
I think they do. This may have to be cut. We'll see.
They do? Well, if they don't, they should. If you're listening, and of course you are, Theta Knot, get on the theremin if you're not already, because I want to see somebody play that live.
Or maybe they have a singing saw.
I can't watch that dang Claire de Lune theremin YouTube video anymore. Like,
I'm gonna watch that.
I'm wearing it out. It's amazing. Okay. It's good. This lady, she's amazing.
And Wednesday, August 1st, one of your favorite bands is gonna be at USANA.
Iron Maiden. Yeah, you know what? I make fun, but like Iron Maiden got me through college. You know, I used to work at the bookstore at when I went to school, and this like, old 80s butt rocker ran the place, and it was like we pumped Iron Maiden and Bob Seger all day, every day. So a lot of Iron Maiden I have memorized. Bring me your daughter to the slaughter.
That's one of the lines. Can you do it like Iron Maiden style?
I can, but I'm not going to.
I mean, that's why we brought you in mainly, but that's okay.
I'm fired.
To do that. And could you let us know what's going on Friday, August 3rd, that first event there? Because I bet you would be able to sauce that up.
Friday, August 3rd, folks, mark your calendar. Talk to your friends and neighbors. Pull your children out of school. Because Friday, August 3rd, the new issue of Slug Magazine will be out. And you can find that, of course, at any place. That's cool.
Wow. You did it. You did it, ladies and gentlemen. Good job. I know that you're a Utah County guy, right? You love Utah County like your brother, I'm sure, right?
I've lived in Utah County.
I know.
TYVM.
All good. What?
Thank you very much.
I don't know, you kids, your internet slang. Have you ever been to the Provo Town Square Parking Terrace rooftop?
No.
Never made out up there?
No. No, that was Squaw Peak in my days.
Oh, okay.
Head up to Squaw Peak.
Well, now they've taken it over for a rooftop concert series that happens every once in a while. It's definitely taking place August 3rd. Isaac Russell and Book on Tapeworm will be playing that, and it's free concert series that Provo City does.
I'm not familiar with Isaac Russell, but Book on Tapeworm, again, very mellow. I think the gal who sings in it has a voice sort of similar to Regina Spektor, if I can draw it. I mean, it's people will argue and disagree, but yeah, I dig it.
And Saturday, August 4th, if you like Iron Maiden as you do, probably you'll like these band names: Demon Hunter, Bleeding Through, Cancer Bats, and The Plot in You, as well as Willows will be a Complex, which is going to be a hardcore punk and heavy metal show. It's definitely up your alley, given your past enjoyment of Iron Maiden.
True, very true.
Now
you've got me. That's something about your daughter and something about a slaughter.
Great. Those words came out of your mouth earlier today, and I just really cherish them.
Bring me your daughter.
Such a nice guy. I mentioned Iron Maiden, and that's the first thing that popped out, this beautiful thing. And Line of Sight is going to be premiering, and there's going to be an Alley Cat at 1130 South Richards Street. It's a bike movie premiere, and there's going to be more info on that in our August issue of Beautiful Godzilla or on Facebook through Salt Cycle. Do you know what an Alley Cat is?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Insane people biking around the city, nearly dying. Yeah, and I've seen the preview for Line of Sight, and it's a movie about these Alley Cat races, where these people, you know, like usually organized by bike messengers, but not necessarily, right? They fly around the city in these, you know, in between cars, weaving in and out, and the preview is like, you know, people almost die in the preview where they're just zooming in and out of traffic. So very, very cool that's happening here.
Swellers cyclists are definitely going to be interested in that. For more information on our daily calendar events, go to our website at slugmag.com. You can also check it out in the back of our magazine. There's a hard copy. And on our iPhone app. Did you know we have an iPhone app, Jeffrey?
No.
Do you have an iPhone?
No.
Well, okay. Good talk.
I'm glad we had this talk.
Yeah. Well, it's on there too.
You want to hold hands now?
Yeah, we're definitely going to hold hands and eat some gelato.
Okay.
Super heterosexual thing too. Guys do actually talk about cold stuff and events.
So why not? Bring me your daughter. Well,
great. Thanks again, Jeffrey.
Yeah, it's my pleasure being here. Thanks so much for having me.
Visigoth is a heavy metal band based out of Salt Lake City, featuring Jake Rogers, Leland Campana, Jameson Palmer, Matt Brotherton, and Mikey T. They started in early 2010 and released their demo Vengeance in November of that year. And in August, the group will be releasing their official debut EP, Final Spell. From that EP, here's Creature of Desire by Visigoth.
Spirit on the streets alone, where the frozen stones seem
That was Creature of Desire by Visigoth off their new EP Final Spell. The band will be playing with Korpiklaani, Moonsorrow, Metzatol, and Tyr at the Complex on September 6th. For more info on the band, visit them online at facebook.com/visigothofficial. Heesen is a Norwegian black metal composer and vocalist. He's best known for his groups Thou Shalt Suffer and Emperor, and he embarked on a solo career in 2006 with his debut album, The Adversary. In June of 2012, he released his fourth solo album on Candlelight Records. Slug writer and Napalm Flesh contributor Henry Glasheen spoke with Heesen back in June about his new album and his career.
The album After was the capstone of your previous trilogy of albums. What do you think is beginning with Eremita?
Well, I kind of like to think of it as a continuation of, you know, my work rather than a new beginning. But I think the reason I did a trilogy to start with was that I want to give myself the time span and kind of the room for three albums to kind of build this musical foundation for this project. And I kind of liked where I ended up with After, where, you know, there's still, you know, the ground foundation of called, I guess, extreme metal, but still with more room for experimentation. And I think I gathered some techniques and methods and quite a little bit of confidence from, you know, working like this, and wanted to kind of build on that further on this new album, and also not kind of liberated from the concept of the trilogy.
So it's kind of like a new beginning after the trilogy has ended, and yeah. After you've had the experience of the extended trilogy format.
So now I feel I didn't want to lock myself. I've had that question all the time: will there be another trilogy? But I don't think this time around I don't feel the need for it.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of like the development of those three albums as a, you know, for what it was, and now I feel I want to explore, I guess, more of the diversity of where this musical project is at.
Band Leprous, whose vocalist Einar also does a lot of the vocals on the album. Explain your working with.
Mostly just on the first song, to be honest.
Well, true, but having them as like your backing band for your live setting, how did that come about? How did you meet these guys, and what's the nature of your working relationship?
Most of them are about 10 years younger than me. So actually, the two guitar players used to be my guitar students.
Oh.
When they were younger, so actually, you know, I guess I helped in their development as guitar players in the first place. but also Einar is my youngest brother-in-law.
Oh.
So me and my wife, we actually bought him his first keyboard. So it's all very natural that we've kept in touch with them, and we recorded their last album here in our studio. And beyond that, as a band, they are super talented, and they've developed into being, you know, fantastic musicians. And there's no way I could have done live shows without them. Rehearsing with them, I mean, I always score my music in a sense, so I can just send it to them, and by the time I come to the rehearsal, they will already know all the songs.
Wow.
A matter of putting the set together. So that is very professional, and also traveling with them, you know, they are very serious about what they do, and there's, you know, no drinking or partying or anything like that. It's, you know, totally reliable, which I, you know, really appreciate, because that's kind of what took away my pleasure of playing live. Was kind of all the kind of chaotic environment you had to do that in.
Yeah, and it's nice to have a band that will actually like respond to you and really engage with your music before you even get there, that they'll be professional.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, they read music, and it's not like, you know, pointing, it's just standing there and pointing at the guitar neck and, you know, trying to learn of, you know, parts. It's beyond that, and it's just so comfortable. And it's, you know, these are great guys, and I think since their music and Leopards is also very different from mine, and I don't think people compare the two. For both parts, I hope it's kind of a win-win situation. And when the occasion allows, like just when in December, for example, when I went to Japan to do three shows, we managed to fit in that they will, with as Leopards, also kind of get the opening spot on the show. So we try to, you know, help each other out.
As your own style has grown and developed, a lot of changes have also occurred in the metal scene. What is your perspective on contemporary metal?
I'm really not the right person to ask, because I've never really been good at kind of following the scene,
okay.
If you will. When I listen to music, I always, if I, you know, seek out inspiration for something, I always end up listening to all the forms of, you know, all the genres of music with a different perspective. So I'm not really that up to date. But and unfortunately, probably it's just me getting old. But for me, I think it's a bit sad that everybody starts sounding the same. But I've had some of these, you know, in the car, we get sent, you know, the Covermount CDs, the Conflict magazines that are sent to us and with our production company, and I'll listen to some of those, and, you know, they're 14, 15 bands, and, you know, of course you can tell them apart, but I mean, the production and the way they do things, it's just absolutely similar. So
yeah.
If you don't listen very closely, you can't really tell these bands apart. I don't know, it's just probably that you've come to a place where the production ideal and everything has become so common, in a sense, that it's hard to really get a lot of diversity in there.
Yeah, and your project is a lot more focused around departing from standard norms from the genre, so I can definitely see that.
That's not really the... I don't have any particular goal to try and make my stuff sound different. It's just that, I guess, instead of trying to have my drums sound like the lost Stephen Slate sample library, I really like that drum sound, like, you know, drums hit really hard.
Yeah, and instead of, you know, just overproduced and crazy like that.
Yeah, for some genres that works, you know, for some expressions, I would rather say that works really, really well. You know, but for particularly, like, for this album, I felt that dynamic and very expressive sound would be much more suitable than this very direct, in-your-face type of sound.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
To read more from this great interview, check out the Napalm Flesh article from June 2012 on slugmag.com. For more info on Ihsahn and his career, visit him online at ihsahn.com. Thanks for listening to another edition of Soundwaves from the Underground. For all things Slug Magazine, visit us at slugmag.com. What are you looking forward to the most from Kraftwerk City? What are you hoping to find at Utah's only DIY festival? Drop us a line and tell us for our upcoming Kraftwerk City episode. You can either send an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. Our associate producers are Jeanette D. Moses, Esther Moronio, Ricky Vigil, Alexander Ortega, and JP. Our executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. Our main logo and art design is by T-Done, and our technical design is by Kate O'Connor. On next week's episode, Craft Lake City, Annika Diemo, Sub Rosa, and Make SLC. Until next week.